Dr. Mate Te Howard is the Associate Professor and an avid advocate for Māori health, Deputy Dean of the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences here in Tāmaki. A recent report released has compared the deadly 1918-1919 influenza pandemic with the COVID-19 pandemic. There's a big review on how we handled ourselves as a nation with the COVID challenge, and Mate Te is kindly with us to reflect on some aspects of that. A warm welcome to you, Mate Te. Tēnā koe.
Morena, morena.
Kia ora, it's good to catch up with you again, sis. Thanks very much for your time. How can we compare the influenza pandemic with the COVID-19 pandemic? You'd think our country's learnt something in the past 100 years. How valuable is the comparison?
Yeah, I think it was important to compare the two illnesses. One, because it was so deadly for Māori, the influenza in 1918, and equally, we were concerned there might be issues in terms of inequities for Māori and Pacific people and people living in deprivation this time around as well. And unfortunately, while we did learn some things, I think, and put in place some measures to, you know, certainly reduce the mortality rate that over those 100 years, there were some similarities.
When we look at our response, we're trying to chart a way forward too, because something like this is bound to occur at some stage in the future. The effect of Māori with that influenza pandemic, I remember talking with the Associate Minister of Health at the time, Penny Henare, and he spoke of the impact of the influenza pandemic, wanted strict rules imposed on our people, marae, and some Māori traditional protocols. Do you think perhaps that caused an overreaction?
Yeah, I don't know if that was an overreaction. I think I always fall back on the comment at the time, which was, you know, we were trying to build the plane as we were flying it, you know, to help save people. So in the same way, we were concerned about the COVID having the same type of way that it spread as the influenza, which was, you know, it was able to, influenza did sit on things, and if you touched them and then touched your mouth or breathed very, very close to people, you would certainly get it. And as a result, people were dying. We heard stories of, you know, whānau communities being wiped out by the 1918 influenza, and we certainly didn't want that to happen. So we thought, let's do what we can with the information we did have at that time to try and save our whānau. And looking back, we can say, you know, some of those measures probably weren't appropriate, weren't relevant. But as I said, we were trying to do the best with what information we had, and we can now learn from that and, as you say, apply it to the next pandemic.
Can you talk us through your research for a moment, please? What have been, or what was the shape of that? What were you asked to do? And what some of the major findings of that research have been, please, Matiri?
So it was a call out to, you know, all researchers around Aotearoa, tell us your ideas around understanding COVID, but with a focus on the inequities that occurred. You know, what lessons have we learnt? What things can we intervene with? What were the numbers looking like? What solutions were there? And so there was a range of research undertaken, but our particular program of research wanted to understand, as we said, the differences between what happened in 1918 to this COVID situation, with a focus on the numbers for Māori and people living in neighbourhoods of deprivation, I guess, living with economic issues in their lives and the impact that it had there. And what we were able to demonstrate was that while the mortality or death rates from COVID were not as significant as they were from the 1918 influenza, there still remained inequities. And a lot of those inequities were a result of the social determinants of health. So people living in overcrowded homes, people working in situations that were perhaps not as safe for them, people struggling to get kai, who were losing their jobs and things like that. So we focus mainly on the COVID, the actual infectious disease on Māori whānau. There's another program of research that's looking at, what were some of those wider impacts for Māori in terms of having access to health care in a timely way, getting into hospital, managing their long-term conditions, getting early diagnoses of things like cancer and things like that. So we looked at just the infectious disease itself, but I think we also know that there's this ripple effect because during the lockdowns, whānau weren't able to get into their GP or into hospital in time, and this has also had an impact on their health.
Tēnā koe, how difficult is it to do a research project on a kaupapa that in some ways hasn't finished? I mean, we still don't quite understand long COVID, and there are still many people who are contracting COVID.
Yeah, it was difficult. And I think we tried to do as much as we could with the time and obviously the funding that we have, but we continue to push to collect that sort of information. That was one of the recommendations from the research, is that we think long COVID is going to be a health issue in the future. Not only in terms of the impact on the things that we can see with long COVID, but I've got a feeling that there are things that we're not seeing. So, I wonder if we know that COVID does cause some kind of stickiness in the blood, and I worry about things like heart attacks and strokes after COVID. But they're not necessarily being linked together. So it is difficult, but I think what we've done is signal that we need to continue to monitor it. I think that it will continue to have an impact on terms of the, recurrent waves. We're still seeing waves. We're still in the middle of a COVID wave now, even as we release that information. But we need to continue to monitor it in the future. And then, as you say, there's likely going to be another kind of big infectious disease that will come again in the future for us, and we need to be prepared for that.
Our Māori researchers are a little anxious as we look at the clampdown on kaupapa Māori and dual lines of inquiry, etc. Even as Māori media are a bit anxious as well at what next move might come from this coalition government. What about the research space for Māori? Has there been any political heat applied?
I think we're anticipating it. I have heard on the ground that there are, we've had scientists criticise the idea of Mapauranga Māori and its place in research and science. So I guess we're anticipating that there will be a clampdown on Mapauranga Māori, kaupapa Māori research, but clearly, certainly over the last 10, 20 years, we've been able to flourish in this space. And from my experience, not only advance our knowledge, advance our health and well-being, contribute to science in Aotearoa, but some of the things that we've actually developed that were by Māori, for Māori, have also been introduced to all New Zealanders and have had an impact on their lives as well. So my, I guess, counterclaim to that is if we get it right for Māori, and we can only get it right when we use our own kaupapa, our own ways of knowing and understanding our well-being and our lives, if we get it right for Māori, all of Aotearoa will benefit. So, again, we're going to have to, be prepared to make that argument, take on that fight, I guess, when it does come.